Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
As part of our series on eye conditions, it gives us great pleasure to introduce Barry. Hi, Barry.
Hello.
So you're here to talk about uveitis and your experience and your journey.
Yes, I am. My journey actually started, I'd say, probably 3 years ago with a few symptoms, like seeing, just like looking in a petri dish when you was at school and seeing just single cell organisms, and that was the start of it. And then seeing flashing lights and seeing a black cloud going across my vision one day, that lasted for a couple of weeks. Then that made me go to the doctors. And then basically I was stood in the kitchen one day and my eyes completely and utterly filled up with floaters. And that's when I went to the opticians and they got me into the hospital, next day appointment. And that's when actually the journey fully started then, with all the tests I was going through, chest x-rays, CT brain scans, lumbar punctures, until the... Well, I didn't at first, I didn't know I had uveitis. Nobody told me anything. I just thought I had this eye condition. I didn't know what was going wrong and I was terrified. I thought I was going blind. And it was only after, I'd probably say, 6 months that I finally found out what was wrong with me, that I had uveitis, and they didn't know the cause of it at that time. And then it was another, I think, 18 months down the line that I was diagnosed with, I got a diagnosis of birdshot, which was causing the uveitis. And then I started on the steroid trip at the beginning then, which wasn't very nice, and the high doses, and you just basically, it takes over your life for a while. It's not very nice. It's not for the nice with people around you, living with you and living with what the steroids do to you, because I've went from a very outward going person, doing a lot of climbing, hill walking, everything, to basically becoming a bit of a recluse, not wanting to speak to my friends. My wife, I was not very good to live with my wife. She's a very, very, very strong woman, and she's, I'm just thankful she stayed with me through all this. The moment I am now getting to an acceptable level of steroids, which is now I'm down to now just this last 7 week, I've managed to get down to 5 milligrams. That's over the last 16 months. I've been on an upward journey, downward journey, going back up again to high doses, down again. And I'm also taking Celset. I'm on 2,000 milligrams a day of that. That started in January this year. I had one failed attempt on azathioprine. That lasted for about 2 months. Didn't know it was poisoning my liver. And the specialist himself rang me up and said, I need to stop taking them now. I think he was worried that I might have been, it was just trying to kill him. And he was lucky I was still there when he rang me up, sort of thing. So now here I am, basically 3 years down the line from when I first having problems, to basically trying to get your life back together, sort of thing. I think I've lost about 25% of the vision in my right eye. Left eye seems okay. I'm not having any problems at the moment. I seem to be stable, which I'm very lucky and I'm very thankful at the moment I am. And you still live with the fear of if you get another flare up, will it take any more sight? Will anything else happen? Will I lose one eye? Will I lose both? I don't know. You always live with that little bit of fear inside you about it, not knowing. I think it's the fear of not knowing what's going to happen more so than anything. I get by. I definitely get by because I drive for a living. And basically, if it went any worse, and I'd struggle to keep my job. At the moment, I'm okay. So, thankfully, the horrible drugs we have to take for uveitis are doing the trick at the moment. And I just hope they continue to do so, because it just wouldn't have a very good effect on my life and the people's life around if if the worst did come to the worst. I mean, it's not the end of the world if it did, but I wouldn't like it to happen. You just try to carry on best you can, and just try not to think about it and things like that.
Hi, it's Tracy. So it sounds. Thank you for sharing, and it sounds like you've been on a roller coaster of different emotions and different stages throughout the last 3 years. I'm just wondering what kind of information you were given, where that information's come from, and how useful that's been.
At the beginning, I wasn't really given any information because nobody was telling me what was wrong with me. I was just going to the hospital. They were just saying I had really swollen optic nerves, and it's no real information. I didn't receive any letters from the specialist. I didn't know you could receive letters from the specialist that were sent to your doctors. It was only at a later date when I found that out you could. And now, luckily, I'm at St Paul's Eye Unit and at Liverpool, and the information I get from them is fantastic. And the majority of my information, when I finally got a diagnosis, when they finally said you've got uveitis, they didn't show what it was, and I went online and actually found my own information about it. And I think I went straight to Olivia, found Olivia's Vision at first then, which is very, very helpful place. And then when they said they were testing me for birdshot, I actually went online again and looked that up, and the first page I came to was the Birdshot Uveitis Society. And the information from them is just second to none. And the people who run it are just absolutely fantastic.
So I'm assuming that there are different types of uveitis. You've mentioned that you have birdshot. Do you know anything about that, Barry, or are you just aware of the one that you've got?
No, but the birdshot's actually caused the uveitis, and it's my immune system. My immune system turned against me, which I think is, I think in the case of most uveitis, it is mostly your immune system, or if it's infectious or not. Well, mine's non-infectious uveitis, it's bilateral posterior uveitis, which is caused by the birdshot. Because I carry the HLA-A29 gene, I was susceptible to birdshot.
Right.
And they don't know what caused it, and they still don't know what causes it.
Has there been any genetic testing or anything?
Just a blood test, really. Testing you for the HLA-A29 gene. But that's taken into all the factors of everything else, the white spots on your eyes, your symptoms, basically the night blindness at first, the flashing lights, the floaters, everything. You've got that many symptoms. As you know, for people who have uveitis, that many symptoms that go with it. There's too many to describe at some points. To find out when I had birdshot, when he actually told me I had birdshot, it was more of a relief than anything that day when I was told, because I was coming out with a diagnosis. And to me, that was more important, to find out what was wrong with, than walking out and just saying, well, it's idiopathic, we don't know what it is, that because your treatment options, I think, are a lot less when you've not got a full diagnosis. So I'm very, very thankful that the people who were treating me at the time spotted it.
So it gave you some clarity and understanding about what was going on?
Oh, yes, a hell of a lot, yeah. It brought things into perspective more then. And because he doesn't necessarily mean you will lose your sight. I'm caught relatively early in the disease, and it is hopefully treatable. And up to now, everything's working, touch wood. It's all going in my favour at the moment, but there's nothing to say in the future that it won't. I know it did take some of my sight at the beginning, but you learn to cope with that anyway. I think your brain and my left eye sort of compensates for everything when I don't see it to my right eye. And luckily, it's not centrally. It's more to my nose. So I'm lucky in that respect. It doesn't affect me driving. It's a bit of an annoyance at times when you don't see things, which are clearly there, and obviously you don't see them. So it is annoying, but I've learned to cope with things like that. But like you say, to get the diagnosis was a big, big thing for me. And I know a lot of people don't get diagnosed and get misdiagnosed with things. And
what would your advice to those people be if they start to spot some of those symptoms that you've described? What would your advice be?
What, to try to get a diagnosis?
Mm.
Just keep pushing. Mm-hmm. Just keep pushing. Just keep pushing the people who are treating you. If they're not actually uveitis experts, I think you're at a bit of a loss with them, because it's quite a complex disease to understand anyway. And if they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what they're treating, really, and it can have devastating consequences, from a lot of people have found out.
You've mentioned the steroid treatments, and obviously taking steroids can have, you know, lots of different effects for different conditions for different people. Mm-hmm. Are there any other alternative treatments?
At the moment, no, not really. There are treatments out there, but they was denied to us by NHS England. You've got the likes of Humira, and there's another one, I can't think of its trade name, Infliximab. They were shown to have very, very good effect on uveitis. And they're the biological drugs rather than the steroids and basically the immunosuppressants. And they have a lot less side effects. There are side effects with them, but they seem to work better. But they're actually denied to uveitis patients at the moment. In England, anyway. England and Wales. I know you can get them in Scotland. But I do think you really do need better treatments. It does need more understanding about the disease itself. And we do really, really do need better treatments, because the steroids are not nice, and taking immunosuppressants is not a nice thing to take either. Mm. So we really, really do need better treatments. And my point of view is, I think what's the point in, you can watch somebody go blind and take them out of society, where someone who's worked all their life and then can't get a job because of blindness, being legally blind or something, because when there's a drug out there that could more than likely possibly save the sight, which is far less taxing on society than having to provide for people. So
presumably if somebody experienced some really, really early symptoms, like you explained, floaters and things like that and flashing lights, then obviously you would encourage people to go straight to seek medical attention and
definitely
get their eyes checked and everything.
Absolutely, 100%. If I'd have gone when I first started having symptoms, instead of leaving it till I started seeing the black cloud, because you put it down. So I'm 48 now. I was 44, 45 at the time when I first started having symptoms, and you put that down to your age anyway. When you get in your mid-40s, you put little things down to your eyesight goes a little bit worse anyway when you're that age. But if I'd have gone then, I may not have lost some of the sight in my eye. I don't know. I'm not 100%, but I wish I'd have gone a little bit sooner now. But it took me probably 6 months before I sought treatment. But I would definitely, definitely say to people, if they experience any changes in their eyes, you see funny flashing lights, see halos around things, around lights in the distance, or seeing colours, funny colours that aren't really there, definitely go to the doctors, definitely go to the opticians. Definitely, definitely see somebody about your eyes. I would definitely say that.
So moving on after the diagnosis, I mean, you've mentioned Olivia's charity and Birdshots. and you've obviously got some, you know, useful information from them and some support as well. Are you kind of involved with those charities at all in terms of telling your story and, you know, helping other people?
I'm very heavily involved in the Birdshot Society, mm-hmm. yeah. Not more so with Olivia's vision, no, not really anymore. When I got diagnosed with Birdshot, I went onto their site and I added my name to their site, and they put me in touch with their Facebook group then. And there are people on there without Birdshot, there are people with those uveitis as well, without a diagnosis of Birdshot. But I am involved in them quite heavily. I go to the meetings they have, speak to people, try to support each other as much as you can online. I do speak to people personally, and I've met quite a lot of people personally. And I also do some charity work for them, try to raise money in that by long distance walking. But the actual charity, the Birdshot Uveitis Society, is an absolutely fantastic place to, you know, to speak to people. People are so supportive. If you've been the beginning of your journey, everybody's been there, and so they can alleviate a lot of your fears, sort of thing. But then the more you progress into it, then new people are coming, you tend to help them more. And it's a circle, really. You start at the beginning, you start moving further and further into it, then, and you start helping people more and more yourself then.
So if somebody's listening to your story, Barry, now, and they'd like to contact the charity, how can they do that?
If you just go online and you went to birdshot.org, or if you Google search Birdshot Uveitis Society, that is the first one that came up then. And you just go onto their site, and at the bottom you just put in your contact details, leave a short message, and one of the members, more than likely Annie Folkard, will be in touch with you. And then she'll just send you an email and probably add you to the Facebook page then. If you want to speak to people that way, fine. If you don't, you can sit and watch, sort of thing, on the Facebook and listen. Or you can just become active. Or you can just basically, like yourself, sit and listen and just see what people are saying. Because it really, really is a very, very informative place. Very informative. And they do so much good work, so much fantastic work for the people. The people who've got uveitis. And really do good work for them. But very, very easy to get hold of anyway. If you just go to birdshot.org or just Google search them, you get straight to the website.
Brilliant.
Well, thank you ever so much for sharing your story with us, Barry. It'd be very informative, and hopefully people will gain support from listening to you. And if they're going through any early symptoms, hopefully they will get the help and support that they need.
I would definitely say, people, you know, the biggest thing is just get your eyes checked regularly. Definitely get your eyes checked regularly. It's something you never think about, something you never think will, from having 20/20 vision to never having eye problems to go into something, to being diagnosed with uveitis, definitely get your eyes checked. That's the biggest thing to come out of it. Get your eyes checked regular. If you can get caught early, you can get better treatments for it. You're more chance of keeping your sight if you get caught early.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big thing that comes out of this.
And that's a big message.
Finding the right people. Finding the right people to treat you as well. Asking the right questions of the specialists, asking if they've had, not sat the uveitis fellowship, things like that, and that's, what do they know about uveitis? Asking all them questions to the people who are treating you. And if you're not happy with the treatment you're getting, if you're not happy with their knowledge of uveitis or anything, ask to see somebody else without a shadow of a doubt. Because at the end of the day, it's your eyesight you're talking about, so that's one thing I would say, definitely, about that.
Thank you, and that's a really important message. And we've got National Eye Health Week next week, so you know, I think it is a key message to everybody, really, just to, you know, it is important to have your eyes checked for all sorts of reasons, and you know, if they can prevent loss of any sight to any degree. You know, that's got to be a good thing. So thank you for sharing your story.
No problem.
And, you know, thanks for joining us.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.